So I was also going to ask you about carfilzomib as upfront treatment. Looking back at this man's course, particularly because he was unhappy about the neuropathy, what's your take right now? I mean, carfilzomib has its own set of risks. I mean, obviously, there's a randomized study looking at carfilzomib versus bortezomib as induction therapy. But right now, based on the research data that we have in your own clinical experience, how would you weigh out indirectly the risks and benefits of these two drugs as part of induction?
You know, I think that there's still a lot for us to learn, and I'm eagerly awaiting the results of the ECOG KRD versus RVD study when it's finished. I think what we've seen so far is that there is a toxicity profile for carfilzomib that we did not expect based on all the relapsed refractory studies that have been done previously. I think that there's a cardiopulmonary kind of thromboembolic profile in the newly diagnosed setting. The numbers of patients that are experiencing these serious adverse events are low, but when they do experience them, these events are very serious. So for me, that's been enough to say that I don't start somebody out preemptively on lenalidomide carfilzomib dex. I really want to see the safety data to make sure that we understand and can manage these patients appropriately. But what I will sometimes do is if patients do not have an optimal response to upfront lenalidomide bortezomib dexamethasone, let's say they've maybe achieved a PR, maybe still have 20% of plasma cells left in their bone marrow, and we're trying to get them to transplant, I found that switching over to KRD, so lenalidomide carfilzomib dexamethasone, really in all cases thus far that I've attempted, gets the patient to that very good partial response or bone marrow less than 10% plasma cells and gets us moving on to consolidation with transplant. So that's really my practice thus far. I won't offer KRD upfront until we have phase three data showing at least equivalency with respect to efficacy, but also a safety profile that's acceptable. But I will switch patients over if they haven't achieved the optimal response with upfront RVD.
Can you drill down a little bit more in terms of what your take is on the toxicity profile of carfilzomib? It's always been kind of difficult for me to sort of sort out what's going on. I hear about a dyspnea syndrome. I hear people saying there's a small incidence of actual cardiac dysfunction. You said thromboembolic, which I'm not sure I've heard at all, but what specifically do you think is associated with this drug?
You know, I'm not sure that I'm smart enough to answer that. I think what we are learning so far is some vague vascular injury, but that's pretty nonspecific, and I recognize that in what I'm answering. I know that there has been interest in obtaining additional correlative studies from the ECOG study so that we can learn more about this. But the adverse events that we haven't quite predicted have included things like heart attacks, serious PEs. Now, you could say that, well, that's the IMID, but generally these days we know how to manage IMIDs and prevent thromboembolic events associated with IMIDs. And so to have serious pulmonary emboli occur on patients receiving KRD suggests that perhaps this is coming from the carfilzomib, although obviously hard to prove. You know, I don't think we know what it is, but if you're taking somebody who's relatively young and fit and transplant eligible and exposing them to a risk of a serious cardiopulmonary side effect, you really have to be sure that you're doing that for a good reason. And I think right now, we just don't have enough data to tell us that this is, in fact, safe enough to become the new standard of care.
How often do you see a patient who's getting carfilzomib who talks to you about the subjective experience of dyspnea during the infusion? And if they do say that to you, what do you do?
You know, so it's, I would say, maybe 25% of the time
Wow.
I see it. And it's always hard to know what to do. Obviously, you know whether these patients have underlying lung disorders, you know, their baseline COPD, et cetera. Are they managing that as they should? I'm usually pretty strict about not giving a whole lot of pre-hydration fluids, and I really only do it with the first cycle. So I usually don't worry that this is iatrogenic in terms of salt overload from too many fluids pre-post carfilzomib. The discussion varies from patient to patient in terms of how much it's actually bothering them. On occasion, I will do more workup, kind of make sure that there haven't been changes in PFTs, check an echocardiogram, but I've never really found anything objective in those types of evaluations. Ultimately, it's up to the patient. Usually, if they're responding well or if their disease is responding well, and we kind of talk about having them alert me if their symptoms worsen in any way immediately, they feel comfortable continuing on.